few thoughts we'd like to pass along. Feel impressed that this is the time the Lord wants us to do it. For a long time, we've talked in the meeting, we have thought and actually dreamed, maybe not of a night, but in our mind, daydream, of having a meeting like this. I'm glad that it finally came to pass. And I believe I've heard different ones say on the grounds here, and I'll have to confess that this is the best ministers' meeting I've ever been in. And we're thankful for it. I know God's pleased with it. And I told somebody today that, or we were talking, that what we're doing, what we're endeavoring to do here, we don't have to wonder if God's blessed it or not. Because if what we're doing is for the betterment of His cause and for the more unity in our midst and to have more power with God and to be better servants of God, we don't have to wonder if the Lord's going to bless that or not. We know God's going to bless efforts like that. Because I told somebody, if you see your neighbor or brother in need, you don't need to pray. You don't need no leadings of the Spirit to help him out. You don't need no leadings of the Lord to do that. Bible teaches us to do that. So if we're doing something another for the glory of God, well, then we know the Lord's blessing will be on that. And I believe we'll have to acknowledge that God's blessings have been on this couple of days' efforts that have been put forth here. And I trust and pray that we'll all be better equipped. The theme kind of, well, the meeting was for mostly to older ones to kind of instruct the younger ones. But I don't know many of the older ones that haven't got a lot of help, too. I certainly have got a lot of help. And I heard these brethren last night, this afternoon, talking, and I was able to see myself, not only now, but over the past years I've seen down the road where I came from. And I've seen places where the enemy tricked me and where I was snared by the enemy and where I made blunders and mistakes. You're looking at a man that's made a lot of mistakes in his life. And I made a lot of mistakes. And I even prayed it before this meeting, before this evening. Lord, am I even worthy to get up and speak before the body ministers here? After I'm looking back my life, and the Lord brought to my mind so forcible where that he told Peter, he said Satan's, the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And we understand this talk about Peter, and I thank God that I never have backslid since I've been saved. Thank the Lord for that. But I know one thing, that Satan has been after me ever since I've been saved. He's been after me ever since I've been saved. And I want to say this, that he's after you too. He's after you too. And he's after every one of us tonight. But I'm glad that our faith don't have to fail. I'm glad the Lord's praying for us. You know, I appreciate everybody's prayers, but I'm glad he's praying for me. I'm glad he's praying for us tonight. And we're thankful, Lord, for the Lord. Many blessings to us. We're thankful to be saved and sanctified and love the Lord tonight with all my heart. I've given my I went and started out in this way almost 30 years ago. I was tired of sin. I was tired of the world. I was sick. And I was outcast. I was, as most of you heard, that I had nothing to live for much or nothing to look forward to. And the doctors, the best doctors we could find, had gave me up. There was no hope for me. And as I've told before, I was very tempted to commit suicide 3 different times. And I was tempted to go down on Skid Row and drink my life away. And end of the road when God saved me. I don't recommend going that route. But when nobody could help me, God helped me. God helped me. So I know what God can do, and I know what man can do. Man can't do very much when it comes down to comparing at what God can do. So I appreciate being saved. I wasn't raised in the truth. I was raised, what you might say, very limited amount of formal education. And if I would have chosen anybody to be a minister, I would have not chosen me. But the Lord knows what He's doing. And I've never claimed to be a great wise man. And I've never claimed to know a whole lot. So I ain't had to answer for a whole lot. But I've just given my life to the Lord. I talking about qualifications last night, I believe that I can meet those standards. And not bragging on what I've done, but I've traveled over 1 million miles, the best way I can figure it, in the last 23 years. I've traveled something over, best I could calculate, be over 1 million miles. And I have been in thousands of meetings, I would say. And I've sat in on lots of problems. I mean, you know, people's personal problems and things like that. So I haven't known very much, but I have learned a lot of things. I quit school when I was in the first day in the 6th grade. That's not maybe to brag about, but after I was in, growed up and was in the Navy 5 years, well, I needed to have at least 2 years high school or the equivalent thereof in order to go to barber school. So I didn't have that. So I went to college and taken a GED test. And so I came out with 3 years high school. And I was surprised. I even asked the man, I said, "Are you sure that I made that, or are you just giving that to me?" He said, "No, it comes out that way." I'm not boasting that in me, because I didn't even have no idea I would do that. But I say that to say this: you do learn some things by just living. And I know when our children were little and we were traveling gospel work, sometimes we would want to go on a trip, and we'd go to the school teacher or authorities and tell where we were going and what we were going to do. And they'd say, "Take them right along. That's educational. So we do learn a lot of things in just living. And I still believe that the old saying that experience is the best teacher. Experience is the best teacher. So I have had some experiences. Some of them been good, and some of them not. I wouldn't want to live them over. And for a long time, like I said, I've thought about a meeting like this, and I thought some of these days I'd just like to talk to the young ministers and see if I could be a help to them along some lines that I've like I said, that I thought about my, made some mistakes myself. So you pray for us, Lord, to help us to bring out a few thoughts here and bear with us. And I know I can't talk like Brother Wilson and I, Brother Warren, I'm not even going to try to. So I wonder where them fellas are. I know it comes from the Lord. So may the Lord bless us tonight. I want to talk especially to the younger ministers, and if you get something good out of it, why, you can keep that too. And I want to read here in 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, for the joining, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the building, and they, Attari, brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparations for him." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." I thought of all the things that David had did and how God blessed him. He's a man after God's own heart. But when it came down to, probably would be one of the most wonderful contributions that he could have ever made, was to see, to be able to build a house for the Lord. But David had, through his life, had done things and shed, like it said there, had shed blood abundantly and had made great war. Thou shalt not build a house. So after getting up there before he died and all, he was able to get everything prepared, it seemed, but still he didn't get to really finish the job because of some things that he had done. I had that scripture on my mind a long time, and I thought how that the Lord, what he wants to use us, how he wants to use us, you young minister and brethren, how he would like to use you, and how he'd like to be able to work through you in a mighty way, mighty way. And how that he can take a person like me or like you, save them, sanctify them, and give them a wonderful experience. The most glorious thing that ever happened in my life is when I got saved. God saved my soul. That's been a foundation, stronghold in my whole experience with God. When doubts and fears and unbelief tries to crowd in, I can always point the devil back to November the 7th, 1957. 9:30 in the evening and know that God saved my soul. He made a new creature out of me. I rose up from there a new man, saved inside and healed outside. The devil he never been able to contest that. I know God saved me. And then we came, as I mentioned already before, we came here the following summer to camp meeting. And Lord dealt with my heart, had been dealing with me for some time about something else. I got mixed up on it. I got confused about it, about sanctification, Holy Ghost, and all that kind of stuff. I was ignorant and I didn't know, and I was trying to get somebody else's experience, be like somebody else. And they told me about it, and I wanted it, and I didn't know how to get it, and I claimed it, and I went to the altar for it, and I tried to testify to it. But the Lord, I came here, and the Lord dealt with my heart about it. I went over there to Thayer and went out in the field and looked up in the sky, and I told God, if there's anything more that you have for me, I want it. That's the only way I knew how to ask for it. And the Lord spoke to me out of heaven. He said, I'll take care of it in the morning. So we came back to meeting the next morning, and Brother Gibson got up here and preached. And he took the text over there, said where Jesus laid hands on a man and prayed for him, and he said that he's seen men as trees walking. And he said he laid his hand on him again, and he's seen everything clearly. That's the text he used. And he sat there, and God spoke to me through him, told me what to do and how to do it, what it's about. I came here, and I knelt down there at the end of that altar, and nobody came to pray with me and give me a lot of instructions. I laid it all, what he said, I laid it all on the altar, put everything that I had or ever would have or everything I had in the past, and everything I would ever have in the future, I consecrated all to God right there. And when God did, the Holy Ghost filled me with the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for it. I went on and I'm happy in the Lord. The Lord gave me the gift of helps. The first gift I had, I believe, was the gift of helps. I really enjoyed helping people. I helped the ministers. I loved to buy minister tars. I had a good job, making good money. When visiting ministers come to our congregation, about the first thing I look at was his tar. I didn't know someday I was going to need tars. But I bought many a tar. If they were slick, I'd get some new ones put on. It seemed like I just had a special burden for tars somehow. But anyway, the Lord blessed us, and we were ignorant, moving out. And we went forward then. We got to visit. We'd go. There'd be weeks at a time, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. I believe wife verified this. We had 3 little children. There'd be 2 or 3 weeks at a time that we wouldn't be home one night. We'd be visiting and going. I don't say that was all necessary. That zeal probably not according to knowledge, but God blessed it, blessed our ignorance. And we went that way and visit. We'd go, we'd cut hair, we'd give baths, we'd scrub floors, we'd wash clothes. That's a pretty good ministering job there. That's pretty good work. Carrying coal. Old brother and sister Basie, O'Donnell, that's where he got saved, in their home there. We used to go there every once a week. But anyway, I want to get up to a point. We went on, and then, well, we'll just jump a lot of things, but in the second Sunday of April in 1961, I was in the bedroom praying, looking to the Lord. We were having an all-day meeting in Dayton, Ohio that Sunday. Wasn't no minister going to be there. And we generally have a visit from ministers. Brother McCoy didn't claim to be a minister. He was a teacher. He didn't claim to be a pulpit preacher, but he was just a Bible teacher. Well, I remember we were praying, looking to God earnestly that the Lord would send us a minister to have services that day. Well, nobody was showing up. While I was there praying, the Lord, the room lit up. It did to me. I don't know where it actually was light like this room or not, but it, to me it did. It lit up. And when I was praying for the Lord to call some ministers, I wasn't even asking to be a minister. I wasn't even, if I remember right, I wasn't even considering myself as being a minister. But I was calling and asking God to send some ministers. We need some ministers, Lord. And the Lord came down in that room and he said, "What about you? What about you?" It was so plain and so definite and clear that it shocked. It was a voice that would cause you to stop. I stopped praying. It just stopped me from praying. And the Lord said, "What about you?" And I recognized it was the Lord. All that week, the Lord just kept talking to me about it. "What about you? Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it?" Well, I always wanted to do everything the Lord wanted me to do. And I still want to do everything God wants me to do. And so, the Lord dealt with me that week. About the middle of the week, there was some scriptures start coming to my mind about living water. And I didn't know what that was all about. We went up to Indiana that next Sunday afternoon, had little cottage meetings up there. And anyway, Lord wanted me to preach up there. Made that so plain. Brother McCoy was there, and during prayer, I kind of glanced out of my eyes over toward him, and he was looking at some papers in his Bible. And I thought, well, he's going to talk. But Brother McCoy didn't get up. And I got up and preached on living water. I don't know whether you call it preaching or not. I'd talk, stumble around with it. But the Lord saved the girl right there in that first meeting. The girl got saved. Still saved today. So that got me, that was my beginning in the ministry. And we went on from there, and we had a good Bible teacher. Brother McCoy was a wonderful Bible teacher. And taught me most of the things, I mean, generally as the foundation of the whole scriptures. I mean, the plan of God, the Bible. And we sat under his teaching for about, we'd been there for about 3 years, I guess, before the Lord called me to preach. But then I stayed there for 2 more years and sat under his teaching. I only preached away from home, if I remember correctly, about 2 or 3 times in 2 years. I preached once up in Illinois. Brother Charles Smith was up there one time to meet him. And I preached someplace out. Well, that up there at Union City. I only preached it was either two or three times away from my home congregation for 2 years. People in the congregation, I'd get up and I'd stumble and stammer. I'd get a message and I couldn't get it out. It wouldn't come out. And I'd cry and I'd weep. I go, and the Lord give me another message, and we had to open. Lord, Brother Warren said today, "The Lord will make room for you." I'd get up and I'd try to get it out, and it wouldn't come out. I'd mess it up, stumble over it. People got down on me, looked down on me, said I wasn't called, and all those things. But we stayed. We somehow, well, one Sunday, I just made such a flop that I told the Lord right there in the pulpit, I said, "Lord, this is it. I quit. I ain't going to preach no more." I said, "I just believe I missed it, and I'm just going to go back to my old calling of helps and enjoy living for the Lord." And I said, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit." I told my wife on the way home, "I believe this is my last time believe we'll just go back to living like we was before I got mixed up in this thing. But I went on home and I went in the bedroom to pray. I'm telling these things because I believe you'll get something out of it.
Yeah.
And I went in my bedroom to pray, and I got in my room and I got down on my knees, and somehow or another I didn't feel like I was low enough. I know a lot of times positions don't mean much, but I laid down on the floor and prayed. Somehow or another I still didn't feel like I was low enough somehow or another. And they were, if I remember right, wife had a sewing machine sitting there, some kind of a desk or sewing machine or something. So I you might think this is crazy. You know, no need for this. Maybe what? But I slipped over there and I stuck my head back under this sewing machine or desk or whatever it was, and I began crying and weeping to God. And the Lord came down, and He came within about 20 inches of where I was staying. I just say that because I felt like I could almost reach out and touch Him. But He wouldn't let me put my hand on Him. He was about 20 inches from the end of my hand. And He began to talk to me. He gave me the charge that Jeremiah was given there. Root up, plant, build, and so forth. I'll make you a brazen wall. Fear not their faces. And then He told me, He said, to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And then that's when I went out from there, and I had new life, new courage. We had a meeting going on. Brother Curtis Weedman had come out and taken a stand with the truth. He was preaching in a revival meeting there at home, right about a little after that time, I guess. So he came up one evening, he told me, he said, now this is not my meeting. The Lord gives you a message, you be free. I had a message the Lord gave me. So the next night I got up and preached, Lord, and Lord gave me what I call the gift of utterance. You know, we need to be able to have to utter the Word of God.
Amen.
Lord wants us to put it out plain and clear, where it can be understood.
Amen.
And I always felt that the Lord gave me that gift of utterance there, to be able to put it out. And the Lord blessed me, and I remember what I preached on the straight way and the broad way. And there's about 10 people got saved that night. And that got me on the run. That got me on the run. And I've been running ever since. And like I said, we've traveled a lot all. Then went on then about, we labored there for 2 years. And the Lord, one day I was standing there cutting hair, and I'd been praying for the Lord to help me to get out of this barbershop I was in. It was a 6-chair barbershop, a lot of smoke, and I had a television up in the corner, and all those things. I prayed, Lord, get me out of this thing. Get me out of this thing. And He'd say, stay where you're at. But anyway, I was cutting a man's hair one day there in the spring of 1963. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, I want you to quit this job and I want you to go to all the camp meetings this summer you can go to. And it was clear and it was definite. And I went home and told the wife what the Lord told me. And she said, well, that's what the Lord wants. We had 3 children. We had house payments, car payments, like everybody else. I gave the man a 2 weeks notice. I had $500 in the bank, around that. And we took off. Went to Holly Hill, went to Hammond, went to the Monarch, went to Myrtle, went to, I don't know where I went, Guthrie. I was figuring on coming back that fall and getting me a job and going back to work. That's all the leadings I had, just for the summer. But the Lord, I'm working up to the point here. The Lord, after the summer's over, just I got a call, meeting here, meeting there, and so forth. So it just kept going. And I went out in the work of the Lord, full-time work of the Lord, living by faith. My wife is home, I had 3 children. And as Brother Edgar said, I haven't bagged nobody for nothing since. And I haven't taken up an offering for myself since. I haven't had no salary since. And God's always supplied our needs. And I went out and God was blessing and using me. I believe. Well, I know He was. This is what I want to get up to our point. And I had a special burden for folks to be healed. I had a special burden for that, seemed like. And I made lots of studies about healing. Read lots of the old book on healing, Gospel Trumpet books, Brother Brown's book and different things. And just had a special burden. And in our travels, the Lord's blessed, been was with us. We were having a lot of folks were getting healed through prayer. And the Lord was blessing and using us, and I was going up to Akron a lot about that time, other places. And we got, the Lord was blessing us and using us, and different ways, evangelistic work and healing. And then I felt like that the Lord, I was praying earnestly and seeking the Lord for the gift of healing. I desired the gift of healing. The Bible said desire spiritual gifts. And I was seeking the Lord for that, and like I said, it seemed like the Lord was blessing and leading in, maybe it seemed like maybe in that direction. And then the enemy began to work. And this is what I want to tell the young brother. David got involved in so many things that he wasn't able to build a house. You've been involved so much, you've shed so much blood. You've got involved with so many things that I just can't use you for what to finish this job. David made it in, I believe. But he had to pass it on, the real finishing job, on down to his son. Even though he'd labored and got the material together and everything, he wasn't permitted to build a house because of his being a man of war. And so I want to advise and encourage the young people to avoid getting in, the young ministry, to avoid getting involved in problems, church problems. When I was young, and I want to advise or encourage the older ministers, us, you, don't bring young ministers in on church problems. Amen. It got to the place where that seemed like every problem would come up, well, they'd come and get me. I know I'm getting old. I was popular back in those days. I was real popular. Brother Sam and the Lord really blessed him, really using him. He's really going, you know. You'll go through that, and then after a while your voice will get to be just another voice in the crowd. And I thought the old ministers had let up. I thought they'd compromised. And I was going to straighten them out, and we almost go through that stage somewhere or another, I guess. And I used to think that they were, why they'd lost their anointing because they didn't do like I did. I used to jump and I'd preach so hard it looked like my blood vessel, my head bust. And people felt sorry for me. They told me, you don't have to preach so loud. And they tried to help me, but that's all I know. I thought if you didn't do it that way, it wasn't anointed. I tell you, that don't mean anything. Don't mean a thing. Well, it's all right. Some people do things different. Different calling, different manifestation. But anyway, I went on, and I was the talk of the camp meeting. Got a new preacher. Went down to Hammond, and I went down there, and I've never been preached like that before since. I get up there, and I was young, and I'd preach down there in that old tabernacle. I preached down there, and it was so hot and humid that even my socks would be wringing wet. I just, every thread of my clothes would be, and the water would run off of me, and I got to where I wouldn't even wipe it, just let it drip. And Lord bless, a lot of people went to the altar. But, Brother Sanders here, Brother Sanders here. New preacher. They wanted to ordain me right then. I said, no, I don't want to be ordained right now. My pastor ain't here. And I don't want to be anointed. I don't want to be ordained. I'd get up. I'd preach. The Lord is blessing. And I preached about 6 or 7 times that meeting. And Brother Carver, one day I got up and apologized. I felt sure the Lord gave me a message before I went down there, and I still hadn't preached it. Got up and preached it, and I apologized for getting up again. Brother Carver said, it ain't none of your business who the Lord uses. It's none of your business. Sound like Brother Carver, don't it? But anyway, I went on from there. Like I said, the Lord was blessing. I was a new voice. I was very demonstrative. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that. I done it. The only reason I ain't doing it now, I've got old age, will take care of a lot of that jumping, I'll tell you. But anyway, they got the call of me, and somebody, two brothers would have, older brothers I'm talking about, they'd have a little misunderstanding, and they'd come over and they'd say, come on, Brother Salmon, come here and sit with us, hear both sides of this. I didn't need to hear that. I did not need to hear that. And you don't need to hear it either. And they'd call me in, and they'd have ministers dealing with some kind of a problem. And they'd come and ask, and here's the problem. That made me feel real important. I wanted to be in on it. Young people, they like to feel that I'm really something now. They're including me right in on the big things. Don't you see? And I had to battle feeling puffed up. I had to battle that thing. And even when we came among the saints, Brother Abbott, we'd got saved there in Dayton. Brother Abbott was traveling with evangelists at that time. He'd go around over the country, and he'd say they was a young couple. Of course, I was 34 years old at the time, but I was young in the Lord. A young couple got saved there in Dayton, and they really measured up. They got rid of their television, and they throwed their old worldly clothes away. They're really measuring up. So when we came to camp meeting, people said, Brother Abbott, he told so much about it that we want to see what them sandwiches look like. Is that them? Yeah, that's them. You got to be careful about that. You can puff a young brother or sister up. You can puff them up. And I had to battle that thing to keep from feeling like I was something. And I'll just have to confess, there was time maybe I did feel like I was a little something special. May the Lord help us. And so they would call in, like I said, time and again. And I'd hear the problems. They've always been problems arise in the church. Always has been. And always will be. And we'll just have to deal with them as they come along. As the Lord leads. Brothers, if they just had a hard time getting along. And about every time they'd meet in camp meeting, they'd be having to talk to one another and trying to get things straightened out. And they'd call me to sit in with them. Me, just a young fellow, young minister. And I'd hear them, and some things they'd say, I was so flabbergasted. I didn't think saints ministers talk like that. And Lord help us. I got such a vision and such a impression of the saints and the ministry that I just thought, man, they was past making mistakes almost. And when I got to hearing some problems they were having, some little misunderstandings, and a couple of other brothers that I knew, I got pretty closely involved in that thing, and I'd be drawing in on that. And I'll tell you what happened. It hindered my faith. It affected my faith. And I've always felt like that I almost had the Lord was just leading me in to maybe, I just say maybe, to actually having the gift of healing. But the enemy, I feel like the enemy caused those things, and it hurt my faith. It hurt my faith. I want to advise you, young ministers. I know it sounds exciting, and I know you want to be numbered with the crowd, and I know you want to feel that you're, I don't know, seem like something when we get to be a preacher. Somebody already said we're supposed to know everything. And we're supposed to have all the answers. And we're supposed to get it all. But I'm going to tell you, when you've been in this about 30 years, you'll look back and you'll wonder if you've learned anything or not. May the Lord help us. I want to advise you to stay away. Stay out of all this.
Amen.
We got older ministers that settled, established, been through these wars. Some of them's already got their name, not their name, but their self-involved, where they're may the Lord help us. We may be able to get to where the Lord can still use us, but maybe it'd be limited. So keep clear of church problems. Let the old brother handle that situation. It'll affect your faith. I've grieved over this thing for 20-some years. And I felt like that I was hindered from being used of God, like maybe the Lord really wanted to use me in a greater way. God blessed me, had mercy on me, and used me to an extent. And went on. And so this has been a burden, something I wanted to relate and pass on to you, younger brethren. Just when you'll be wise. Even, you know, we don't say that you can't come, all those things. But you would actually be wise if they're going to deal with some kind of a church problem. Just avail yourself of something else. Is that all right? And I think we're unwise when we include them in all these type of things. It hurts your faith. I know. It affects your faith. And I noticed then that you get to wonder. Then wonders begin in your mind. This brother says this, and that says that. Them two there, they don't just seem like greed and sin. Well, is this thing all that you thought it was? That gives the devil something to plant in your mind. Then right while you're praying for the sick, something like one of those things will come to your mind. And maybe the very brother that you may hear spoke a little bit, maybe out of turn, or maybe had a little cross up with another brother.
That same brother was right there agreeing in prayer with you. And that's all you could think about is what you'd heard. Lord, help us now. Stay out of these things. Stay out of church problems. All together. This is advice I've given some young ministers along the way. Stay out of it. Let the older ministers handle these things. You just go on and spend your time in the desert with the Lord, like brother somebody said. Spend your time out there while they're taking care of that. You can be out there praying and studying the Word of God and growing in the Lord. As Brother Warren said today, there'll be plenty of time. You'll grow up soon enough. Responsibilities will come. If you get by without much responsibility, don't get in a hurry, because there'll be plenty coming along soon enough. There'll be plenty. If you think you're being left out and you're kind of being ignored and you're being not brought into the whole thing, just you got plenty of time. There'll be a time you wish you was back innocent like you are now. I'll guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you there'll be time that you wish you could just go back when you first started preaching and be like you was then. May the Lord bless. Now, this is right. Stay out of it. Don't get involved.